All right. Hello and welcome to the third episode of This Conversation Rocks. I am Diane
And I'm
and I
Todd.
am joined by Todd, my co-host. And the title for this week's episode is Failure to Prove is Further Proof of the Conspiracy.
Otherwise known as Past the Tinfoil Hour.
So we decided after recording last week's podcast, which hopefully at least some of you have heard, you've seen me whining online about our iTunes issues, that we would lighten it up a little bit because our first couple of episodes were kind of heavy. So we thought we would talk about some of our favorite conspiracy theories. And I had to give away a couple of my favorite conspiracy theories to Todd, so I hope I can keep up.
Okay. We're gonna see where this goes.
It could, yeah. I think it's going to be fun. I think that we may have some lively debate this time.
Okay. So,
All right, so go for it.
no, I'm gonna let you start and then.
You're going to let me start. Okay, so we each decided we would pick three because last time we ran kind of long with five apiece. So this is in no particular order. I was going to talk about Bigfoot, I just want to say, but a friend of mine pointed out that's not a conspiracy, that's a myth. And I thought, nah, that's a good point. So I'm not talking about Bigfoot for those of you who requested it.
But just on the Bigfoot thing for just a second,
Sure, go ahead.
pull up my Amazon Kindle. Got a book to recommend on that. Bigfoot, The Life and Times of a Legend. Yeah, it's Joshua Buhs, Buhs.
And so is he, yes, Bigfoot is out there, or no, this is a load of horseshit.
No, he's about the evolution of the Bigfoot mythology.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, it is quite interesting, right? The Bigfoot over time, Bigfoot is the creature for whatever ails us at the time.
I have some conspiracy quotes later on in my jumble of papers here that will support that exactly.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. It's okay. I mean, I'll be honest, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 6, 6.5 read, right? It's not the best thing I've ever read. It's somewhat interesting though, especially if you really like the concept of urban mythology.
Well, and just to kind of shut the whole Bigfoot thing off before we head on, I have to say the whole idea of a large bipedal mammal not having been discovered at this point, especially when we're talking about a place as populated as the Pacific Northwest, I'm not buying it.
No, absolutely not.
So, thumbs down for Bigfoot.
Here's my last thing about Bigfoot, Yetis, everything. However, if you do go to Disneyland, they do have a Yeti in the Matterhorn. His name is Harold. Feel free to ask the staff how Harold is doing today, and they'll tell you.
Oh, that's funny. Did Harold get the measles?
No, I don't believe Harold got the measles.
Harold must have been vaccinated.
Absolutely. And quite pissed off about the whole thing, though.
So on to the things that I felt really truly were conspiracies that I could talk about. I'm not going to do mine in any particular order, so I'm just going to start out with the one that I started looking at first, which is the whole idea of 9/11 truthers. These are the people who think that 9/11 was an inside job. Please react for me because I really struggled with this whole
I got
thing.
nothing.
Well,
I got nothing because because to me it is so absurd. But go ahead and lay it out. I'll tell you at the end of this why I think almost every conspiracy is absolutely absurd, but
so, I had a friend several years ago email me and tell me that I should watch this movie Loose Change, and the subtitle is 9/11, An American Coup. And I'll tell you, at that time, I tried to watch it, and I got a few minutes into it, and I thought, this is a bullshit. And so I could not traumatize myself by finishing the movie, but I thought, well, if I'm going to look at 9/11 truthers, this seems to be one of the places where it started. So that's what I watched for this portion of the podcast. And before I started watching it, I just kind of looked around on the internet to see what people are thinking. So listen to this number. This is a Zogby poll from 2006. 42% of Americans polled believe that the government and the 9/11 Commission, quote, concealed or refused to investigate critical evidence that contradicts their official explanation of these September 11th attacks, end quote. That's almost half of the country that thinks that there is a conspiracy around September 11th. Now, as someone who buys into conspiracies, probably more than I should. That number was shocking to me because I don't believe there's a conspiracy around September 11th. I do believe that it was hijackers who were linked to Al-Qaeda. I don't believe they were linked to Iraq. I pretty much believe the official version. So that was just a very shocking number to me. Anyway, so Loose Change, the movie, opens up comparing 9/11 to World War II and Pearl Harbor, and they alleged that FDR had considerable foreknowledge of the Japanese plans to attack Pearl Harbor, basically used Pearl Harbor as a way to get us into the war. They also paralleled 9/11 to LBJ and the Gulf of Tonkin, and basically suggested that events in the Gulf of Tonkin gave LBJ carte blanche to get us into Vietnam. And so what they're basically suggesting is that the attacks of September 11th were engineered by the US government, by certain shadow figures within the US government, to give us carte blanche to go to war in Afghanistan and ultimately Iraq. I said this to you the other night, and it's more true, I think, of the JFK assassination, which we're going to talk about later, but it was pretty true of this film as well. They did do a fairly convincing job of taking little bits and pieces of information and weaving them together in such a way that your brain wants to recognize that pattern as something that's true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like I'm pretty suspicious of the whole Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush administration. And it is interesting. They pointed out that there was a group that published a report in September of 2000. It was the Project for the American Century. And their recommendation was to overhaul the military and fight and win multiple wars in multiple theaters. And four of the people who were involved in that they named by name were Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, and Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush, who is running for president, by the way. 17 of the people involved in this project ultimately got positions in George W. Bush's administration. So, you know, there are definitely things like that that make it feel like a conspiracy.
Okay, so let's talk about that though for just a second. And first of all, I am no defender
The
of
American Project for the American
American.
Century.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think that all these guys are morons. The fact that these guys were pitching an idea and then provided an opportunity to execute that idea does not mean that they created the opportunity. These guys are waiting in the wings for the opportunity to come along. It came along. That in no way proves that there was an organized effort to fly our own planes into the Twin Towers, kill our own people.
I really have to agree with you on this one. I think that the allegations in the movie are outlandish. But a couple of things that I will point out to you, which I thought were interesting that they allege in this movie. See, they did allege that there was thermite residue found in the wreckage of the World Trade Center. So they're suggesting that they were brought down by planned implosions. They also said that there simply was not enough debris or large enough fields of damage. That there was not enough debris or large enough fields of damage in either Shanksville, Pennsylvania, or at the Pentagon to account for two passenger jetliners. So it was pretty interesting. I mean, they really did.
Because there was purportedly thermite residue found at the scene, and that they also believe that basically the Pentagon and the Pennsylvania thing, the debris fields were not big enough to account for a 737.
Right. So they basically say that there's not a big enough hole in the Pentagon to explain that a 737 went into the side of the Pentagon. And then they basically say, in terms of the debris field in Pennsylvania, that there is no precedent for a jetliner crash where a jetliner has completely disintegrated to the point where there was not really identifiable debris to the degree that there was disintegration at Shanksville on the, or Shanksville rather, on the day of September 11th. So they make a lot of allegations about the appearance of the crime scenes. The other thing that was really interesting is they made the point that the cleanup at Ground Zero started immediately and the steel was sold and shipped overseas. So they actually say that as a result of that, a lot of evidence was lost. So they come up with a lot of things to explain in their minds why.
Okay, and so they made this argument, and of course I didn't watch this documentary. So.
Right, right. I'm springing this stuff on you kind of cold.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But those are some really great allegations. So now my next question is, what is the proof that is offered that thermite was discovered at Ground Zero? What is the proof that they offer that allows them to conclude that there's not, you know, that a plane doesn't just disintegrate like that when, I don't know, I've seen the remains of a lot of planes over the years and stuff, we all have, and they're pretty much disintegrated. So, yeah, I'm curious as to, you know, how they, what their evidence is to support these things, if they provided it.
I can't really speak to great evidence about the crash site in Pennsylvania.
Of course not.
And I gotta tell you, I was so pained watching this documentary that by the time we got to that place, I was struggling hard to stay with it.
yeah.
I was, man. But everything for the podcast.
You are way dedicated.
They actually did interview a guy who claims to be some sort of explosives expert who pointed out little tiny microscopic things in an electron microscope that he claims are evidence. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him. I just didn't pay enough attention to really see what he said his credentials were. But he pointed out what he claimed was the thermite in the residue from the World Trade Center. So,
and of course, the next obvious question, which, you know, you can tell me whether or not they addressed it, right? Because this is where we're going. It's not like you got to quote it verbatim or anything, but
right.
Where did they get this microscopic residue from in Ground Zero?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't remember if they said how they obtained that residue.
Yeah, that's, and again, I haven't listened to it, so feel free to send your hate mail, Kara Brian Williams.
You know, it was interesting. It was pretty painful to watch. They did have several families, family members of people who were lost, a couple of people who were survivors, kind of hooked in, were advocating their point of view. So that was kind of painful and sad to see people still suffering over it.
But if, you know, but going back to your original thing, right? If 50% of the population believes that something wasn't right here, then it's no surprise that you have victims and family members and stuff who think something wasn't right.
Very good point.
The odds are just going to go that way.
There is a new cut of the movie on Amazon Prime.
Director's cut?
I guess. I watched on Prime Free because I have an Amazon Prime account.
Well, good, good, because you shouldn't give money to these people.
I know, right. So I watched it for free. You can watch it for free if you're an Amazon Prime member and see what you think. But I have to say, thumbs down on this conspiracy theory. I just don't think that it just doesn't hold up for me. There were a couple of other interesting things that they brought up, and really we could spend a whole hour on each of these conspiracies, but these are some things to kind of think about. They alleged that there were drills for unconventional threats, such as hijacked passenger planes, going on for up to 2 years prior to September 11th, and they actually claim that there was a hijacking war game started the morning of September 11th, and that is what confused NORAD and confused us and disabled our ability to scramble fighter jets in a timely fashion to intercept those planes, intercept those hijacked planes. So there were all sorts of interesting allegations. They said the planes were only 30% full.
That's not true.
The hijackers actually did not have the piloting skills that they needed to fly those planes. It was really pretty.
Those planes were full. They were commuter runs. I mean,
right. It was the allegations were pretty interesting and pretty distressing, you know. And for me, I don't know about you, but I remember the morning so clearly, and I
Sure.
suspect anybody listening to this remembers that morning so clearly that even to go back and look at footage of those towers coming down again is somewhat traumatic.
Right.
So in a context where someone is trying to claim that it's this giant conspiracy where, you know, basically it was, and the theme that kind of runs through a lot of these conspiracies that we're going to talk about today is it's one more way for the cabal or black ops or whatever term you want to use to
The
further the military industrial complex. I kind of left that out, but yes, the Illuminati is another term that you hear frequently. Yep.
because Dan Brown's novels are not novels, they're nonfiction.
Okay, so now that I've pissed off everyone out there, the 42% who thinks that 9/11 was an inside job, it's your turn.
Sorry, am I supposed to bring something up now?
Yeah, now it's your turn.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to discuss was this whole concept of alien intervention, alien visits resulting in technology,
Ah, yes, here we go. Okay, this is going to be a fun one.
otherwise known as the History Channel. And this is a rant more than anything else because it so pisses me off that like the History Channel has resorted to showing this bullshit on a fairly regular basis now. That, hey, did aliens build your hot rod? Kind of mentality, right? Ancient Egyptian, and a lot of it has to do with like ancient Egypt and all this shit, like the pyramids. And you've probably heard for years, like, we have no ability today to build the pyramids ourselves. It's complete crap. We could build the pyramids anytime we wanted to. We have the skills and the technology to do so. But
There
here's the th
actually are archaeologists who have replicated
Right.
the process. It's slow. It took thousands of slaves. It took many years, but there are archaeologists who have replicated the process.
Absolutely, because what is it? It's big pieces of stone. And what do you have in ancient Egypt? You have a large population that 6 months of the year is unemployed. You have, access to stone tools, everything you need. Egyptians understand or understood geometry better than anybody else because the Nile flooded every year and they had to sort that out every single year. So if you got all that, you can build a pyramid. It's not too difficult. First of all, there's some pyramids out there in the Egyptian desert that obviously were the first go at it. And like everything that human beings do, they didn't get it right. There's a great pyramid where it starts off at a very steep angle, and then like halfway up, the angle completely changes to get the roof, to get it closed up, basically. It's hilarious looking. And the step pyramids that they have out there too. People say, well, there are pyramids in Central America and in Egypt and in Asia. Why, pyramids all over the places prove something. No. When you have stone and stone is the only thing you can build your monuments from, a pyramid is the only object that you can build that will support its own weight.
I also think it proves that the human brain thinks in patterns.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know,
Absolutely.
I mean, there are a lot of things that are common among cultures, and it certainly can imply contact among cultures, but it also just proves that we think in similar patterns.
Yeah, basic engineering, right? It will tell you that the only thing you could build tall out of stone is a pyramid. That's it. You can't build a building, can't build anything else. So we built.
You kind of need those steel girders to make
Right.
things like the Twin Towers,
Right.
right?
I mean, it's the whole
Right.
thing. Stonehenge, it's cool. Built by guys for some reason. A lot of archaeology there, to say exactly what it was used for and everything. But the point is, it was built by men who, cut those stones, rolled them over there, and hoisted them up. But it's not a pyramid, it's not a big building. Why? Because that was all they could do, all they could figure out to do with stone was build a henge. Whereas the Egyptians figured out how to build pyramids, Central American tribes built pyramids. There's no real mystery to it. And I guess that's the thing that just cracks me up, because in my lifetime, pyramids have come and gone as, all the rage for metaphysical new age hokum. I can remember the pyramid power movement in the 70s, and it's just all this stuff about, oh, they did it this way because it generates all this energy and all this. No, it doesn't do anything. And so it didn't require aliens to help them build it. Also along the lines, the Egyptians, you see this also in these shows, the Egyptians, had access to electricity. It's not entirely true. What they had was the ability to make a very weak battery, but what they used it for was doing golden electrum plating of their jewelry and everything like that. It wasn't like they were generating a charge and then powering lights down there in the pyramids. And by the way, also the whole thing about using mirrors to reflect light, that doesn't work either in the in the pyramids. Come on. Think about it for a second. How the fuck does that even work, right? It looked really, I mean, I grant you, it looked really cool with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz
In the Mummy,
in The Mummy. It looked really cool, but light doesn't really travel like that. Light spreads out, hits something that reflects it. It's not going to reflect it with all the same. Anyway. Part of what really just floors me and pisses me off is that the History Channel's putting this stuff out is valid, informative television, and it's crap. And one of the things, if you watch these shows, one of the things that they do really well is they'll be like, does this prove such and such a, hypothesis? And then they'll cut to a commercial, and they'll come back after the commercial, and they've moved on to something completely different. They never actually offer the proof. They just say, could it be this way? Commercial, next thing.
So I'm going to push back a tiny bit on the alien thing.
Feel free. 'Cause I got another one in my I got another one in my holster for you.
All right, 'cause I was going to, right?
It'd be
So
boring if you didn't.
I think, first of all, if you think about the word UFO, unidentified flying object, I think if you truly take it just in that context, I think there are legitimately things out there that people see that they cannot identify.
Absolutely.
So I, so I,
Every day,
yeah.
people see things that are technically, not technically, definitively an unidentified flying object. Is it flying? Yes. Is it an object? Yes. Do you know what it is? No. Then it's unidentified.
Exactly. So the
So far,
people, so far we're in agreement.
yeah.
But the people that I really wanted to bring up are the people who have the really credible people who have a lot to lose. And the people I'm thinking about are Air Force pilots, astronauts, people like that who say, I saw this really bizarre craft. I can't say what it was, and it doesn't look like an experimental craft from our Air Force. So, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I mean, you'd want to get into specifics, and see who said what specifically, and who's quoting them as saying it, right? And then you got to track, because with all this stuff, obviously, you got to keep tracking it back to make sure that somebody did actually say what's being purported. So there's several things. First of all, there is stuff being tested out there by our government and, aerospace defense contractors and stuff that a lot of people aren't cleared for.
And I think that's true. I think there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I
there's a lot
do.
of stuff that Air Force pilots don't know about
Yeah.
because they're not part of the project. That's what I believe. Is
But
that.
do you think there's more than that? I mean, I've always just felt like it's tremendous ego for us to say that we're the only sentient beings in a universe as big as, well, as endless as this universe potentially is.
Is there intelligent life out there? Almost absolutely. From everything that you read, everything you understand about the universe, is there intelligent life out there? Yeah, I can go with that, no problem. But the second question is, has any of that intelligent life come here? And so let's start with, well, why would they come here? We don't do anything that would even announce the presence of life on this planet, intelligent life on this planet, until the 1930s, when, the Munich Olympics are the first thing broadcast on radio in such a amount. That's going out to the. That's actually traveling out there. That's the first thing we did.
And of course, the people who argue in favor of alien intervention and alien contact are going to tell you that we really didn't start seeing large amounts of contact until the nuclear age, until those first nuclear bombs were tested. I'm just saying.
But
I'm just.
the bombs themselves, okay, but anyway, but if you understand, but so you look at the speed at which radio travels, right?
Right.
And figure out how long it takes to get to the next thing over, which is Alpha Centauri, which is quite a ways off, and I wish I knew exactly, but long enough that they would just now have gotten the message and be thinking about coming if they wanted to. They would just now, if that's assuming that there is life in Alpha Centauri, and there's no reason to believe that there is or isn't,
Right.
but, and again, feel free, Brian Williams at notnvc.com.
You're terrible. Okay, so I'm gonna hit you with another one.
Okay, 'cause yeah,
Oh,
let me know when you're done, and I'll lay the ultimate argument out for you.
okay, so there's this guy that I've run across recently in some of the podcasts I've been listening to, and he's really fascinating, and he actually is really articulate. Ever heard of Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer?
No, I have not.
So he is very firmly in the side of we have had alien contact, there are aliens among us, and they are cooperating with the governments of the world. Now, this guy is 90 years old. He's held several government posts. He just was a member of parliament before he had higher cabinet level posts. Super credible, has a lot to lose. And he is out there writing books and speaking about his purported experience that aliens are among us, which I think is really interesting. I mean, I'm kind of taken with the fact that he is so articulate and well spoken about it.
So here's the ultimate thing. If putting aside whether or not aliens could have visited this planet, which I believe is completely possible, but it has no impact on us, any measurable impact. If aliens were cooperating with us and stuff, there would be a jump in the technology that you can't explain, and there is no jump in the history of our technological evolution that can't be explained.
No,
Everything is
I would
every
agree that we've had exponential evolution of our technology, but I agree with you also that there's nothing that says to me that we've had this sudden, revelatory, unexplainable change in our technology.
Right, because at no point in anybody's tech tree did we go from gunpowder to lasers,
Right, exactly.
which is what you would expect to see if there was actual alien intervention on the technology here.
So, of course, one of Paul Hellyer's arguments, and just for anybody who's interested in checking him out, I am reading one of his books called The Money Mafia, which is really interesting. He's also really interested in our banking system. It's Paul Hellyer, Hellyer, and his website is paulhellyerweb.com. I just would encourage people to take a listen. He's very interesting to listen to. One podcast interview is enough. He pretty much says the same thing in all of the interviews that I've heard, but it's worth a listen. Anyway, one of the arguments he makes is that the governments just are not doing any disclosure of the contact, so we're really not aware of the level of contact or intervention that's occurring, which of course is a pretty easy thing to say and a pretty easy way to justify that there's no proof, right?
Absolutely, because
That's your title, failure to prove.
that's my tiger stone, right? That's my stone,
Right.
borrowing from The Simpsons. I have this stone, and because I have this stone, there are no tigers around. Or you could say, Odin was successful because you don't see any fucking frost giants, do you? It's very hard for me to put my faith in anything where the basic bottom line is, well, right, you can't prove it because everybody's covering it up.
Right. Which is pretty much just about everything we're talking about tonight.
Exactly. Exactly. All right,
So
but
my next, are we done on the alien thing or got any more to say?
yeah, I've got one more thing to say, right? It's
Okay, go for it.
kind of off of the technology tree thing, but
Sure.
specifically. So I was in Las Vegas last year. I went to the National Atomic Museum, which is definitely worth a visit because it really shows the history, of the testing of the atomic bomb there in the Nevada desert and the impact and everything. It's quite interesting. But they had a side exhibit, right, which was the Area 51 exhibit,
Oh, that
which
would have been cool.
sadly it wasn't all that great.
Oh, that's too bad.
But here's the old it and probably because of the truth of the matter is there's nothing really to report on. But so they make this point though. This is really interesting because the exhibit's in the dark, and it's kind of a maze thing, and you go here and you see this thing and go here. Anyway, as you're getting towards the end, right, you turn left and you're looking down this long, really dark hallway, and there's a light floating up there in the distance. And you get closer and closer to it, and what you realize is it's a model of an SR-71 Blackbird with the lights turned on in the cockpit. And the point being is that if you're out in the Nevada desert, you can see forever. And you're going to see lights out there, but they're quite a ways off. They're small, cockpit of an SR-71. Yeah. You're not seeing, the point being is that you're not seeing spaceships, alien spaceships.
What you're really seeing is just the light from the cockpit.
Yeah, and light from other things. And it's just so far off, but you can see it so far off because you are in the Nevada desert. So, there you go. For what it's worth. But the T National Atomic Museum is totally cool and worth a visit.
I'd like to do that, and I've got to be honest, I'd like to do Roswell just because I'm interested.
Oh, sure.
Probably
Well,
too many X-Files episodes.
sure. Well, I mean, Roswell is famous for being Roswell, right?
All right, my next one is Ebola is a government plot. So
What the
this was.
fuck?
So I have to preface this by saying that when the whole Ebola thing kind of broke late last summer, early fall. Now, mind you, to people who are tuning in for the first time, I live in Willow, Alaska, which is about 30 miles north of Wasilla, which, yes, if you've heard of Sarah Palin, that's where she's from. We're not exactly talking about an international community here. Our infection control nurse for our local hospital freaked out, had us doing tabletop drills about dealing with Ebola, and had us posting things about Ebola symptoms and international travel in all of our sister facilities. So, needless to say, I was a little torqued that we were wasting time and effort on something that we were most likely not going to see when we have simple things like the flu that we should probably be talking to people about. So I got kind of wigged out about the Ebola thing, but for different reasons. So this was published in the Liberian newspaper called the Daily Observer.
Okay, it already explains it all
Oh
right
no no
there.
no! It can't, but trust me, it does get better. It ties into one of our presidential candidates for 2016 or for 2016. So the Liberian newspaper called the Daily Observer said Ebola is a bioweapon designed by the United States to depopulate the planet. There have also been online accusations that the CDC patented the virus in order to make. Are you okay there? Do I need to call in to do the Heimlich?
Patent the virus, okay, because that's how it works.
The CDC patented the virus in order to make a fortune on a newly invented vaccine. There we
Oh.
are, back to vaccine conspiracies again. That the New World Order, the cabal, the black ops, the global elites, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, engineered Ebola in order to impose quarantine, martial law, and travel bans. So these are all various conspiracy theories that were cited by an article in the New York Times from October 18th, 2014. My favorite one was that Obama basically used the Ebola outbreak as an opportunity to send aid to Africa because he felt guilty about colonialism and slavery. So somehow Ebola was cooked up so we could make it up to Africa for being such awful people several hundred years ago.
But at the same time, also to depopulate Africa.
Right. So,
But sure, both of these things could be true.
so what I want people to really know, what we know about Ebola, is that we don't know a lot. What we don't know is what is the reservoir host? Where does it come from? So there's some theory that maybe it might be in other primates, like chimpanzees, and that people might be getting it from eating contaminated meat. There was a report published in National Geographic late 2014. There's an insect-eating bat that apparently may be a reservoir species. And these are bats that are cooked and eaten by children in West Africa for sources of protein. So there's a couple of different places that we think it comes from, but we don't really know yet. It hasn't been mapped out. The place where our presidential election comes into it is that your favorite and mine, Rand Paul, hyped right before the election last fall, fears that US public health officials were lying about how the disease is spread. And he actually stated that it had be that the disease had become airborne.
Fuck that
Which,
guy.
yeah, so saying that something as scary as Ebola had become airborne, that basically I could sneeze on you and give you Ebola, is really, really, really scary. And the whole takeaway from that for me was that keeping us fearful is really good for business, especially right before an election.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true.
And also right before the election, he also used his theories about the change in Ebola transmission as a way to question the competency of the Obama administration and the way that they were handling Ebola in the United States. What we do know and how it truly is spread, it's not spread through air, it's not spread through water, it's not spread through casual contact. You have to have direct contact with people who are infected with their bodily waste, with either vomit, feces, or blood, and or contaminated objects. So contaminated clothing, contaminated medical objects. You have to directly come in contact with bodily fluids that carry the virus. So it's not something that's airborne, unlike what Rand Paul wanted people to believe. But this is where I found those really awesome quotes about conspiracy theories in general. There's a guy named Michael Barkin, who is a professor emeritus of political science at Syracuse University, and he said, "Conspiracy theories are not effective as accurate accounts. They are effective as expressions of anxiety." Which ties back to what you were saying earlier. It kind of says a lot about what we're thinking as a society and the things that we're worrying about. It says more about that than it does about the conspiracy that we're hatching.
That's right. That
And then the
makes
other
sense.
quote that I thought was really good was that James Broderick, who actually co-authored a book with the guy that I just mentioned, said, "Conspiracies against the powerless tend to be effective because the masses often feel that way. They reflect and reinforce the idea that ordinary citizens are victims of the government."
Which,
Anyway, I thought
dude.
those were really awesome quotes from that article.
And part of the problem, of course, is that people are victimized by the governments of the world often enough. The people then suspect that all the time that's what's going on, when, it's not going on all the time, but it does happen. And nobody here wants to say that it doesn't happen. That we
And it
live.
makes it easier for us to believe
Right. I
things
don't. I
like
don't.
this.
Yeah. I don't live. I don't live in a world in which unicorn shit, rainbow colored crap. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. I'm aware of the fact that the government does things more often than I'd like. That is not good, not right, not justified. However, a lot of what we're talking about tonight just. Beyond goes off the deep end into that paranoia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we didn't manufacture or patent the Ebola virus.
CDC patent. That's the thing with all the conspiracy stuff, right? There's always these things that sound really great, and then you think about it for the second. CDC doesn't patent shit.
The other thing too is that I want to point out in terms of the infections. So the two nurses that were infected in Dallas who were providing direct care to the guy from West Africa, who was actually the only person ever to die on US soil of an Ebola infection, who was not infected in the United States, he brought the infection here. They both specifically said that they didn't have proper protective equipment and that the waste and the filthy laundry and all of those kinds of things were just piling to the ceiling in this guy's room. So they didn't have proper protection and proper setting in which to care for this guy. That's why they got infected, not because Ebola was airborne. So,
Because here's how you know Ebola is not airborne.
because we're not all dead.
Yeah, you're still breathing. Right? Something with 90% mortality rate that's airborne.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's a Hollywood nightmare.
Because the entire population of Africa is not completely depopulated.
Right.
Right.
That's Walking Dead time.
Right, exactly. Which I've got a hat tip to The Walking Dead later in the show.
Oh, very good. Very good. It's nasty. And there are nasty diseases out there, man. We run into them and they kick our hats for a while. And then
Yep.
we get a handle on them. HIV was a death sentence in the 80s. Now you live with it, right?
Yep, exactly. And I'm not saying we're going to get there with Ebola anytime soon, but boy, we sure made it something way bigger than what it was, at least here in the US. I'm not saying it wasn't significant in Africa, but they also were dealing with a medical infrastructure that was completely non-functional. There was one area where for like three, I forget what the number was, it was something ungodly, like 300,000 people, there was one ambulance.
Right.
You know, so when you're looking at numbers like that, of course you're not going to have the proper equipment to protect people from infection.
Places where the infrastructure is shit, this is how, what happens,
Absolutely. Right? And absolutely. Maybe we should have called the podcast Right and Absolutely. All right, it's your turn.
I do want to just give a quick tip of the hat to Buzz Aldrin for punching that guy in the face several years ago for accusing him of being part of the group that faked the moon landing.
The conspiracy that Todd is talking about is the allegation that the moon landing was faked, that actually all moon landings have been faked.
And there's no evidence. They claim they have evidence, but there's an episode of MythBusters that takes all the photographic incident evidence and runs it through the blender. If you're interested, please check out MythBusters.
So I actually had a little fun looking this one up because I had never really thought about it before, because I just thought it was such a completely ridiculous thing to even assert. So I did a little research, and to this day, 6 to 20% of Americans think that the moon landings were a hoax, faked to win the space race. 28% of Russians think that our moon landings were a hoax, again, fake to win the space race. So that kind of puts it into context a little bit. It was originated in 1974 by a guy named Bill Kassing, and he wrote a book
Capricorn
called,
One.
well, he wrote a book called We Never Went to the Moon, America's $30 Billion Swindle. And Capricorn One was loosely based on his book. And he actually claimed in that book that we had a 0.00 17% chance of successfully landing on the moon.
Having not read his book or anything, I would love to know what his evidence was for all of the assertions that he made.
So here's the interesting thing. He apparently was a technical writer who worked for the company that was the creator of the engine rockets for the Saturn V rocket.
Okay.
But he didn't actually have any real scientific background. He was just a technical writer. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little snippet. And then the other thing is the people who kind of have jumped on this bandwagon about saying that the moon landing was faked, and the Flat Earth Society was one of them, said that all of the images that we saw on the television were staged by Disney, written by Arthur C. Clarke, and directed by Stanley Kubrick. I know. What can you do but snort at that, right?
Oh my God. Wow, that's the thing, right? You start adding names to it, right, to try to give it legitimacy.
Right.
And this is the part about all these conspiracies, is that at some level, all of a sudden they start to acquire specific people who did specific things, and
Right.
everything's ludicrous. I'm sorry, Disney, Arthur C. Clarke, and
And
Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick. Yeah. I actually, you know, so
You
I was
wouldn't
kind of.
you would think that maybe you'd want to actually use some physicists and some engineers and stuff. And not some guys who create things, create stories.
You know, the thing is I was thinking about my memory of the images because it's been a long time since I've watched any of the images from the moon landings, and I was thinking about movies from the same era and special effects that go along with those movies. And the stuff from the moon landings was light years ahead of any of the special effects from those movies.
Right.
There's no way they could have done that good of a fake job unless they were really holding out on us in terms of movie production.
Right, Star Wars was still several years away.
Right. And let's be honest, there were times you could see the zippers up the back in Star Wars too.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's always puzzled me. people are going to believe what they're going to believe. And
Yeah.
we're not expecting that anybody listening to this is going to suddenly go, hey, you know what? They're right. We must have gotten to the moon.
I think of all of the ones that we picked to look at tonight, though, the moon landing was faked has to be the one where I'm like, really? There are actually people out there who believe that?
It is your
Okay.
last conspiracy.
This is my last one, and I actually have to open a page on my phone because I just could not even bring myself to write all this shit down. It was so unbelievable. Okay, President. Oh no, go for it.
Is this
Go ahead.
Kurt Cobain was murdered?
No,
Paul
President.
Paul McCartney was replaced?
You know, I looked at the Paul is dead conspiracy, but I thought, no, please.
I know, that was just hilarious.
So, no, this is one of my favorites. Obama is a secret Muslim.
Muslim? I thought he was a secret Muslim.
So, let me just say, let me give you the numbers again. One of the things, and this is a hat tip to the guys over at Biters, my favorite Walking Dead podcast, they always like to look at the numbers, and I think that it's important to support what you're saying by looking at the numbers. A recent Pew Research study reported that 17% of Americans still believe that Barack Obama is Muslim. So first of all, I've got two words.
Only
Jeremiah
two.
Wright. Anybody remember Jeremiah Wright?
I don't even remember Jeremiah Wright.
Jeremiah Wright was Barack Obama's Christian pastor who was his giant problem when he was running for election the first time around.
Oh, right. The guy was mouthing off.
Right.
Yeah.
So Obama had gone to his church, which was the United Trinity Church of Christ in Chicago, for 20 years.
But that's just part of the plot.
Right. It's part of the cover-up. So, and Jeremiah Wright was the guy who said, God bless America, God damn America, which got everybody all up in arms. And it created a lot of backpedaling on Obama's part, kind of distancing himself from that church and from that pastor. So we seem to forget that at one point in problem, he had a problem with his Christian minister. Anyway, so 17% of the U.S. still thinks that he's Muslim. So I found this website called conservapedia.com.
Oh, God, that just sounds good right away.
Okay, so I'm just going to read a few of the things that they cite as proof of evidence of him being Muslim. Obama declared in prepared remarks, "The United States has been enriched by Muslim Americans. Many other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them." So if you put that in the proper context, he's actually referring to having been someone who lived in a Muslim majority country. But they took it out of context and highlighted, I am one of them, making it look like he's admitting to being Muslim. In prepared remarks in April 2012, Obama referred to Jesus as a son of God rather than the son of God. And for me, and I'm sure for some of you, it's also a chance to remember this, the tremendous sacrifice that led up to that day and all that Christ endured, not just as a son of God, but as a human being. So they're saying that, you know, of course, because he doesn't recognize Christ as the only son of God in that little speech, that that means he's a Muslim.
Muslim.
Let's see. His background and outlook are Muslim, and fewer than 1% of Muslims convert to Christianity. Although he attended a Catholic school while in Indonesia, he was part of a Muslim society there. His middle name, Hussein, references Hussein, who was the grandson of Muhammad. After he became politically ambitious, he declared himself to be Christian, although he never did replace his Muslim name, Hussein, with a Christian one, as some do when they undergo a religious conversion.
You know, okay.
Are you going to stop me? Because I could keep going. Trust me, the list is so long.
You know what Barack Obama's actual problem is, right?
He's black.
Well, absolutely. But it's probably it's far more likely that he's an atheist than anything else, right? And that's just you can't come out and say that, and that would solve
right.
the problem.
Yeah, you know, it's like Jello Biafra said many years ago, you know, if you want to be seen as credible, sometimes you've got to put on the business suit, you
Right.
know.
He's not a religious guy. That is pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's not up to me or anybody else to question what his religion is. I'd just say that he's clearly not publicly a very religious guy. And yes, I completely agree with your first statement. The biggest problem with Barack Obama is that he's black, and that everybody is still freaking the fuck out because a black guy is running the country.
I had to laugh. I can't remember who I was listening to. I think it was Bill Maher, and he said, "People are still freaking out because there's a black family in the White House eating off the fine china."
Yep.
And that's where this shit comes from. This was this Facebook page, or I'm sorry, not a Facebook page. This internet page was just unbelievable to me. I just some of the shit on here.
And it's just it, this continues. This is a continuation of what's gone before and will continue on. And I don't, did you ever see the email with that was purportedly the Bill Clinton hit list, all the people that Bill Clinton had killed?
Right. I think Vince Foster was on that list, wasn't
Of
he?
course, Vince Foster was on that
Yeah.
list because, of course,
Yeah.
he killed Vince Foster. All these people were on this list, right? And it's just, you want to take stuff and spin it like that, you can. There's nothing I can do to stop you.
Yeah.
But you're kind of an asshole.
It's just so ironic to me because at the beginning of his run, he was. They beat the hell out of him for his 20-year attendance at Jeremiah Wright's Christian Church,
Right.
and now years later, we've still got somebody hosting. Years later, at the end of his presidency, we've got some crazy person hosting this website listing all the numerous ways that he's Muslim, you know?
It wasn't what just a couple of years ago, that Trump brought out the birth certificate thing again and
Right.
trotted that all out and sending his guys down to Hawaii to dig into it, and his guys in Hawaii are finding some stuff, and as John Stewart put it, yeah, his guys in Hawaii were like, yeah, boss, absolutely, we're finding, oh wow, we're finding a lot. It's gonna take, oh, I don't know, another 2 weeks here in Hawaii for us to go
Right.
through all this stuff, right? Yeah.
And they do actually refer a little bit to the birther stuff too. They talk a lot about his background, a lot about his father, a lot about his Kenyan background. So, yeah.
It's all about. So, the right wing, this is not a conspiracy because it's very public what they do. It's very obvious what they do. It's not a conspiracy. Let me be clear about that. It's just what they do. The right wing is looking for ways with Obama, and they did with Bill Clinton before him, to because they feel like the presidency is somehow illegitimate. The fact that 51% of the people voted for these guys is somehow illegitimate. That Bill Clinton's presidency was illegitimate because actually he didn't have 51%, but because of Perot, he won that election illegitimately, and that there's no way that we would have voted for a black guy unless we were all drinking magic Kool-Aid and stuff. And so yeah, there's this whole thing about, oh, he's not really a U.S. citizen. No, get over it. He's a U.S. citizen. It's all about just trying to justify why the guy shouldn't be president. And the guy should be president. Why? Because he won the elections twice.
Right. Twice.
Twice.
So we've dragged this out. Let's wrap this sucker up.